This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Happy Monday to you. It is time for the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday. You made it through the weekend. You made it through what is concluding right now between the Raiders and Saints, all tied at 17. You've made it through week 2 of the NFL season. Pat yourself on the back. And now I'm here to take you through the next 4 hours. Okay, this is when I get started every single weeknight. Monday through Friday, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. A big thank you and a shout out to super producer Stu Kovacs. Obviously, we're going to talk about some football. Obviously, we'll talk about some of the NBA action that we saw over the weekend. And I'm going to do it right here with you, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Man, we got quite a lot to talk about. Injuries in the NFL, coaches on the hot seat, players lighting it up, even more players getting carted off the field, unfortunately. And to talk about it all, in 40 minutes, we're going to chat it up with Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports. We are going to learn everything about what's going on in the NFL. And then also, next hour, we're going to chat it up with Greg Bell, to talk about who else? Russell Wilson, Greg Bell, beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune, representing the Seahawks in Seattle. And we got a lot to discuss, a whole lot. Week 2 of the NFL season, I'll tell you, throughout everything that we saw, from the Falcons reminding us that they know how to choke and doing it in other ways, the Cowboys being saved. Man, Russell Wilson lighting it up. The injuries. I mean, there were so many storylines that took place over the entire weekend. And I don't even know where I'm going to start at. You know, first of all, let me at least walk you through some things that really stood out to me. And I will remind you, this is your show. You can always contact me, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all social media. I can be found at JR Sport Brief. So that's at JR Sport Brief. I just tweeted out the show rundown on what you'll be able to stay tuned for the entire show. And you can also call up 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I told you that the Raiders opened up Allegiant Stadium. That's going on right now in Las Vegas. And they are tied with the Saints 17-all. They scored 3 consecutive touchdowns, and I blinked, and then the score was tied right before halftime. So maybe the Raiders will make some noise in a stadium that there are no fans. This is the quietest venue in Las Vegas, I'd venture to say, ever, especially that holds this many folks. I want to ask producer Stu. Stu, how you feeling about this game so far? I know you've been getting ready like I am.
Yeah, I got to watch a lot of first half. It was a rough start, especially defensively, but the offense really, at least in the second quarter, came alive, and Derek Carr completed a bunch of passes, and they've looked actually pretty decent, a lot better than I thought, at least.
Well, let's see what happens with the Raiders here in this second half. Let's see if they can keep the momentum going. I think this would be a nice kind of check mark on their season to kind of get going here. If they can obviously knock off the Saints, they got another half of football to get it done. And just to talk about some of the things that we saw yesterday, it seemed that week two of the NFL season was a combination of the good, the bad, and the ugly. What are the good? If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you might consider what happened to you to be good, because you narrowly escaped defeat, and it took the Falcons to basically hand you over a win. The Cowboys beat the Falcons 40-39. For a team, the Falcons, they started off the game 20-0. They were up 15 points going into the fourth quarter, and they still lost. They did not. They forgot how to play football. They didn't want to recover an onside kick. They huddled around the ball like it was a COVID-19, and nobody wanted to touch it. Okay? And at that point, the Dallas Cowboys, they came back, kicked a field goal as time expired, and the Cowboys went over the Falcons 40-19. And here in Atlanta, oh yeah, there have been calls for Dan Quinn's job for quite some time. He survived last season. I don't know if he's going to be able to survive this year. And so if you are a fan of the Falcons, this is ugly. This is not going to get any better. And I would venture to say, in many other cities with owners who have less patience, Dan Quinn would have got the boot by now. He would have gotten the boot last year. He would have gotten the boot in the middle of the season. And unless the Falcons have another miraculous turnaround, or at least the second half of the season, Thomas Dimitroff is going to be gone as well. That's the general manager. And the Dallas Cowboys, they just need to be happy right now that they are not 0-2. And there are several teams that are 0-2 that they got a lot of explaining to do. And it's not all because of injuries. Some of these teams, to be expected, some not so much. The Denver Broncos, 0-2. Dealing with injuries. The Texans, 0-2. Dealing with a crazy head coach slash general manager. Hi, Mr. O'Brien. The Philadelphia Eagles, 0-2, and oh my goodness. Because when you think about what you have gotten out of Wentz, through two interceptions yesterday, the Rams beat him 37-19. And something that I found to be one of the more hilarious scenes yesterday, you know, we don't have fans in these stadiums. Wentz is playing at home in Philadelphia. He doesn't hear a damn thing except for, you know, whatever hush or play call noise or piped in noise is heard. But on TV, there's actually an NFL media guy who sends in noise. And what did we hear during Wentz's interceptions? We actually heard a booing. He was being booed by the home crowd for the listening enjoyment of everybody at home. I guess this is a solid way so Eagle fans can feel comfortable. And for whatever reason, it looks like him and his career is going backwards. The Vikings, 0-2. Kirk Cousins had an ugly game. The Lions, 0-2. I feel like the Detroit Lions are just a case of everybody hates Patricia. And then the Falcons, as I told you, the Falcons are also 0-2. And some of these teams have some explaining to do. And in the case of Dan Quinn with the Falcons, he doesn't have any more explaining. There comes a point in time where nobody wants to hear about the brotherhood and rising up. You actually have to get some W's, and you can't give them away out on the football field. Nobody wants to see that. It's terrible. So between the Falcons, ugly. I mean, you think about what you're getting out of Wentz, ugly. Two interceptions. Cousins with the Vikings. The Colts beat them 28-11. Kirk Cousins, ugly. This man went 11 of 26 with three interceptions. Ugly. There was a lot of ugly yesterday, and I didn't even get into the bad, and I'm talking about the injuries. Saquon Barkley, one of the top offensive weapons in the entire NFL. I don't even care if he had a high ankle sprain last year. This year, you won't even see him anymore because he tore his ACL. Christian McCaffrey, going to be out with the same type of injury that Saquon basically played through last year. Christian McCaffrey, he is basically the Panthers' offense. I know you got Robbie Anderson, who looks like the Jets should have kept him. But Christian McCaffrey, come on. 4 weeks to 6 weeks? And Christian McCaffrey's talking about, oh my goodness, I want to try to come back soon. Oh, well, good luck. More injuries. Bosa, he's out. Looks like he's out for the season, ACL injury. Drew Lock, sprained shoulder for the Broncos. Oh, throw the Broncos away. His wide receiver, Cortland Sutton, ACL, he's gone for the year. Jimmy Garoppolo, high ankle sprain. He's a quarterback. Okay, he doesn't have to run as much and jump. And let's see what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo, but you already lost Bosa on the opposite side. Davante Adams dealing with a hamstring. Raheem Mostert with the 49ers. That was like the trifecta there. Sprained MCL. Yesterday was both bad and ugly. That's the ugly part. That is bad. But if you want to talk about a bright spot, this guy's been playing out of his mind. We actually had an entire conversation and took plenty of calls this past Friday about this man. And his name is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson last night had an opportunity to face off against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Seattle, they're not in that 0-2 camp. Seattle is 2-0 after a 35-30 win over the New England Patriots. This man, Russell Wilson, you think he's tired of being in quote-unquote the underrated category? There's no such thing as a two-game MVP, but he's certainly been the best player in the NFL in these 2 weeks. This man went out there, 5 touchdowns, 82 completion percentage, 9 TDs in the entire year so far in only 2 weeks. You want to know how good this guy's looked? You thought Bill Belichick was handing him out compliments last week by calling him underrated. You know, Bill Belichick might as well have rolled up to his house and, you know, just dumped some money on his lawn. Bill Belichick said, "I'm glad we only have to play him once every 4 years," says Bill Belichick. And if I'm a Seahawks fan, if I'm a fan out in the NFC West, I'm kind of excited right now. And you never want anybody to be hurt. You never want anybody to go down. But if I'm going ahead and I'm looking at my division and I'm saying San Francisco 49ers missing solid parts of their defense. Remember, Bosa might be out for the year, but Sherman, high ankle sprain as well. He's done for a few weeks. Mostert, granted you got 4 running backs, but your lead running back, he's gone. He's hurt. He's injured, dealing with a sprained knee. You don't necessarily know his status. The Rams are 2-0. The Cardinals are 2-0. But the Seahawks have the most experience. The Seahawks have the best player in the league right now, this moment, playing for the best over 2 weeks, and Russell Wilson. The Seahawks look like they are ready to punch somebody in the mouth to get a hold of that NFC West title. The Niners, surprisingly, I guess obviously because due to injury, they're behind an 8-ball right now. And Russell Wilson has finally been given the green light to go out there and cook. Russell Wilson is not just hand it off, save us, Russell. He's getting an opportunity. There was an entire campaign about letting Russell Wilson cook. And here he is at 31 years old, finally having an opportunity to not manage the game, not manage the run game, not let the defense do the work. Russell Wilson is airing it out, leading the NFL and leading passers in all major categories. And Russell Wilson, someone who is generally rather demure, someone who deflects praise. Russell Wilson, he says, in true Russell Wilson fashion, that he is always trying to be the best that he can be. Listen up.
I don't come to play this game to be second place. You know, I don't, you know, I think that, you know, if I'm not thinking that way, you know, I'm crazy, you know, because, you know, if you want to be great, you have to believe in who you are and what you have and all the things that you do. I put tons of work in this game, you know, and I want to be the best in the world, but I can't do it alone. It's all the guys that we have around me and just they've done a great job of making plays. And it's really a special group of men that we have on offense and defense. And just I'm grateful to be able to play with such amazing guys. Like I said earlier, you know, I think it's all part of the process. You know, and there's so many great guys, great quarterbacks. I mentioned, you know, obviously guys like Patrick Mahomes. I mentioned guys like Lamar and guys like Drew and guys like Tom, and I have a lot of respect for, you know. But if I'm not believing that, and taking the shot, you know what I mean, then you're never going to hit it, you know what I mean? So I think that's always got to be your mindset.
Oh, listen to Russell Wilson. Who writes his speeches? Himself? I mean, how does Russell Wilson come out and say, just the perfect thing every time? He says a whole lot of nothing, but makes it sound perfect. I'm going to go ahead and give him my all, but I have to also give credit to my teammates, because without them, there is no me. Every single week, we try to come out and play hard, and I can't do it without the support of my head coach. He puts in the plan, but my players execute. Russell Wilson, I don't know where he got the Derek Jeter handbook of say a whole lot, but say nothing. But Russell Wilson, he's great at it. And when you're a great player and you can back it up by saying a whole lot of nothing, congratulations. Because his bank account at $35 million per, at least on the football field, speaks volumes. The respect that he's getting from other players and probably one of the greatest coaches of all time in Bill Belichick speak volumes. And the numbers that this man is putting up with the opportunity to now throw the football certainly speaks volumes. Russell Wilson is playing out of his mind. Let's see if he can keep it up. I mean, some of those throws that he was airing out and pinpoint accuracy going downfield. And hey, Pat Mahomes might be the overall best QB. Pat Mahomes and his legs and his arm helped save the Chiefs last night or yesterday afternoon against the Chargers. But go ahead and look at what Russell Wilson has done the past 2 weeks. He's had the best start. He is a bad man. Even though Russell Wilson might be too proud a guy, too polite a guy, too good of a teammate to even say it. Russell Wilson is a bad man. Forget your teammates, brother. You're the one getting the job done. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, I told you about some of these injuries. I told you about some of these issues. I want to open up the phone lines to you. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Your calls when we come back, but then I really want to take some time to break down all of these injuries. Did we really miss out on the preseason? Is that why all these guys are going down? And then, in about 20 minutes, we're going to chat it up with Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports. Don't you move. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're doing a recap of week two of the NFL season. The good, Russell Wilson. The bad, the Falcons. And the ugly, everybody that got hurt and injured. This is awful. The phone lines are open to you, as always. 855-212-4CBS. The line is sponsored by Geico. And did you know, right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Go to geico.com to learn more. It's week two of the season, but it's a far-gone conclusion. Russell Wilson is the best player rolling right now. 2 games, 9 TDs, only 11 incompletions, a completion percentage of 82%. You want to talk about someone, an NFL passer who has pinpoint accuracy, you're looking at somebody, you know, close to 70%. That's a rarity. And here you got a guy through 2 weeks throwing 82%. That's going to come down. And if that stays that high, I mean, well, damn, this guy's going to have the greatest season of a quarterback of all time. We don't even know if we're going to go ahead and get a full 16. We can still hope for it. The NFL has yet to have a major issue here with COVID-19, so let's keep it that way. But one thing that the NFL has not escaped so far to start this 2020 season has been the injuries. And they started to really pile on yesterday. Okay? You're looking at a Saquon and a Bosa, McCaffrey, Locke, Sutton, Garoppolo, Devontae. It goes on and on and on. And if I'm a 49ers fan, I'm extremely disappointed. And matter of fact, we have someone on the line right now. His name is Mitch from Phoenix. Mitch, he has some comments on someone who just came back from an injury. Mitch, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. What's on your mind, Mitch?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm terrific. What you thinking about?
I love your show. I love your radio voice. You're the man.
Oh, thank you, Mitch. It's I guess I was born with something that worked out for me, you know? So I'll take this one, Mitch.
Where were you born? What part of the United States?
Oh, Northeast, New York.
Okay. I'm out of Philly originally, but I'm in Phoenix.
Okay. Well, you came from right down the turnpike. Well, I've been spending my years now in Atlanta, so I'm very thrilled. What's on your mind from yesterday? What about the games?
Well, I was really impressed with Cam Newton and, of course, Edelman that I've loved since he's been in the league. And the guy from Green Bay isn't too bad either.
The guy from Green Bay? Pick a guy.
Oh, the quarterback.
Oh, the guy named Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, he's not too
shabby.
There
you go. There you go.
Yeah, he's going to be on his way to something called the Hall of Fame.
Well deserved.
Yeah, Mitch. He's going to go, man. Well, maybe you'll hit the Hall of Fame too sooner than later. You never know.
Oh, I've already been in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, look at you, Mitch, all up and down Canton. Where can I find your bust?
Oh, I don't do football.
Oh.
No, football's not my style. I'm scared of football. I'm also scared of hockey.
Oh, anything that you can watch, though, Mitch, huh?
Well, I've watched a lot of sports in my lifetime, but I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
The whole situation with sports all over the country, and I don't care which sport it is, it's all come down to big contracts, holdouts, people getting injured. People have a head problem. People don't want to play for the coach. People don't like the crowd or the city. It's just a mess. I mean, it's a real turnoff.
To me, Mitch, I'm glad you're still watching. I mean, for all of those things, I'm glad that you're listening to me, Mitch.
I'll listen to you, but I'll be honest with you. Yesterday was the first day in my life that I missed out on two Eagle games.
Well,
On purpose.
Well, Mitch, I'll tell you this much. A, and thank you for calling from Phoenix, Mitch. Appreciate the kind words. Hey, you should be happy that you missed the Eagles games because you missed out on Wentz throwing two INTs. You're also missing out on the Eagles being 0-2. So to that degree, I say you missed a whole lot of nothing. Something that you also missed, and be happy about that, were all the injuries that took place just north of Lincoln Financial in New York City, right up the turnpike, because the 49ers, they may have won the game. They may have beat up on the New York Jets, but they didn't walk out unscathed. From Bosa to Mostert to Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, this is what he had to say about potential turf issues at MetLife Stadium.
I know our players talked about it the entire game, just how sticky the turf was, and I think that was the first time people played on it, I think. It was something our guys were concerned about right away, and the results definitely made that a lot stronger. And unfortunately, it's a place we got to go back to next week.
Yes, that's correct. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, they are taking a break, I guess you could say. I believe in West Virginia, they will return to MetLife to take on the New York Giants. And the Jets and Giants, I don't know if the turf is super, super brand new, but I haven't heard complaints from anybody else. That's just facts. And if you head on down and you chat it up with Matt Rhule, first-year head coach of the Carolina Panthers, he's missing Christian McCaffrey for a few weeks. He's getting started, but he feels awful about what happened to Christian.
I hate it for him. I mean, no one wants to be out there and play more than Christian does, but yeah, everything happens for a reason. I'm sure he'll rehab. I'm sure he's rehabbing right now. I talked to him earlier today, and I know he'll get back as soon as he can.
Yeah, and unlike the 49ers, the Panthers, they did not come away with a victory, as Tom Brady got his first W as a Buccaneer, going over the Panthers 31-17. Let's see how that offense can continue to produce. I'm going to guess, I'm not a football genius, but they will rely more on the arm of Teddy Bridgewater. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but you lose one of the more unique weapons in the NFL who went out and set records last year. So Christian McCaffrey, he says he's going to try to be back sooner than that 4 to 6 week period. Good luck to him in that regard. But injuries were the name of the game yesterday, and that's just a part of football. But how much did no offseason training, how much did no preseason games affect what we saw happen yesterday? Are we in store for more injuries over the next several weeks? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to chat it up with Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports. This man knows football. We're going to wrap up everything that occurred yesterday, tonight, to conclude a week two, and we're definitely going to break down and talk about these injuries. So don't you move. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're recapping week two of the NFL season. I'm glad the NFL is here. I'm glad we haven't had any major problems. Right now, the Raiders, they're taking on the Saints, opening up Allegiant Stadium. They're winning in the third quarter with a minute left, 24-17. And before we went to break, I told you about the greatness that has been Russell Wilson, even in the first two games of the season. I told you that was the good. I told you about the bad, guys like Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins who are throwing passes to the wrong team. And then I told you about the ugly. It doesn't matter if it's Nick Bosa, Saquon Barkley, Cortland Sutton. It's just a rash of injuries that have taken place here, at least in week two. And to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly going on in the NFL so far, especially here in week two, we're going to chat it up with CBS Sports writer Jeff Kerr. Jeff, good to chat with you, my man. How's everything rolling?
Hey, JR. You know what? We're 2 weeks into the NFL season. I'm just glad we got football back. I went to Penn State. I'm missing college football like crazy. So I'm happy the Big Ten's coming back, but I got to wait another month for that. But I'll tell you what, man. I'm just excited about NFL football.
There's no doubt about that. Jeff, are you surprised? I know we've spoken about this. You've spoken about this. Are you surprised we've gotten through, you know, week two? I know it's still early, but are you surprised that we've gotten to this point?
You know, it's crazy to think, JR. I was 100% positive we would start the season. I didn't think we would go basically 2 weeks without any major COVID news. Like, it's weird. It's almost like, I mean, obviously the virus exists, but in the NFL world, it just seems like everybody's doing their job. And I was always thinking was, you know what, football players are really smart, especially the ones I talked to. They said, look, we're just going to go to practice. We're not going out. We're going to practice. We're going home. We got money at stake. Our families are at stake. Our lives are at stake. And if so far they've lived up to their billing now, can they do this for 16 weeks? No, I think it'll be worrisome when the 2-10 football team rolls around and they probably stop caring. But
right,
for a lot of these teams, I think they're true to their word right now.
Yeah, well, look, you hit the nail on the head. You said family. Most of the players have family, whether or not they started their own families at this point. But then the ultimate motivator would happen to be money. There is a lot of money at stake. We're chatting up with Jeff Kerr, writer, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Well, there's one thing that we cannot deny that we've seen, especially yesterday, just injuries up and down everybody's roster. I mean, you can go ahead and look at the 49ers. You could say that they got hit hardest with Garoppolo, high ankle sprain. Mostert, sprained knee. You're going to miss Nick Bosa for the year with his torn ACL. What do you make of the injuries yesterday? Just part of the natural course of the NFL? Or do you think that whether it was yesterday or weeks from now, the fact that we didn't have a full preparation in preseason and training camp is taking effect?
You hit the nail on the head, JR. You really did. It's funny. The cure to this is maybe we should have a preseason. Maybe we should have OTAs and mini camp and a regular training camp. I know everybody complains about the preseason, and I wasn't crazy about the 4-game preseason either, but I knew a couple players, from my parents that they played in the 70s, and they said, look, we need all these practices. We need this. This keeps us in shape. And I know this is a much different time, obviously. Now, that's 50 years ago. But, the same premise applies. These guys just – and, look, I don't want to – Doug Peterson said today at his Eagles press conference basically that, these guys, they're just not ready to go with the OTAs and the preseason and they need to find stuff. And, I kind of brushed it out at the time because I'm like, well, every team went through that, Doug, not just you. But then I think what he meant was, as we're talking about now, the injuries around the league. I mean, the 49, the Giants lost Saquon Barkley. Like, I know a torn ACL can happen anytime, but I really don't think Saquon Barkley gets a torn ACL if he has a full preseason and even getting some reps in there. It just seems like these guys had to go from zero to 100 so quick. And just playing such a physical sport like football, right now it feels like they're paying the price for it.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, there's no doubt. You might play football for a living, but it's like, I don't want to compare it to boxing, but you have to get your body prepared for the physical beating that you take. You have to harden your body. This is not just step out there in typical conditioning. You have to harden your body. Do you have any concerns that we're going to see more injuries tick up as the year goes on?
I think so. I think we're going to get a lot more injuries. Week two was crazy. I don't think we're done. I think we're going to get a couple more of these injuries in the weeks to come. And I'm really worried about when it gets cold out in November and December, how that's going to affect a lot of players. I think where we can at least take some solace here is not many quarterbacks got hurt. Like Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. Tyrod Taylor had that freak chest injury, but that wasn't a football injury, or maybe it was, and we just didn't know about it. Maybe it's some of the warm-ups, but we're lucky, we still got Russell Wilson. We still got Patrick Mahomes. We still got Lamar Jackson and those guys. And I think that's what really gets this league going. I know we lost through that for a couple weeks here, and a couple of these guys are getting banged up, but we got the stars of the league still playing. I think that's what's going to keep people watching football. I mean, people are going to watch football anyway because of fantasy football gambling aspects. But, I mean,
we got the stars.
Yeah, exactly. 425 CBS. I make sure to watch Patrick Mahomes every week. Whether I'm doing a Chiefs game or not, I make sure to have him on my television. And that's what drives me to watch football.
No doubt about it. Well, Jeff, we saw what Pat Mahomes did against the Chargers yesterday, helping them come back and win another game and another matchup. But you mentioned Russell Wilson. We talked about Russell to open up the show. What's different? Is it literally or a matter of fact of they're giving him more opportunities to throw the ball? Is that what it is? Or is this a culmination of multiple things that we're seeing like a record-breaking type Russell Wilson right now?
Okay, this is my theory on this, and I wrote an article earlier this month. Four reasons the Seahawks are a favorite to win the Super Bowl. And we were in like four reasons the Seahawks won't win the Super Bowl. And one of the reasons I have was Russell Wilson has his best collection of pass catchers probably ever. And this is this is better than the group when he had Golden Tate and all those guys there when he won the Super Bowl. I mean, look what they had. DK Metcalf is going to be a stud in this league if he isn't already. Tyler Lockett's already a game changer for them. David Moore's their number four receiver. Think about that. David Moore's their number four receiver. The guy averages like 19 yards per catch for his career. They have Greg Olsen. And they're loaded at running back, and Rashard Penny's not even back yet. I mean, really, they never got their offensive line figured out. Seattle probably is the favorite in the NFC, and I just think it's a combination of all the weapons and Russell Wilson being in the prime of his career, him already being good. He's probably motivated. He's never got an MVP vote, which is phenomenal. But in my opinion, you know, that's why he's lighting it up right now. That's why he has the second most touchdown pass in NFL history through the first two games of the season, because he's got all these weapons. And you know, really, Sanders doesn't need that him to throw 35 times a game to win, but they're letting him do it right now. I think they're telling the NFL world, we're here. This is our quarterback. This is our year.
We see that. We're chatted up with Jeff Kerr for CBS Sports, covers all things NFL. That's Russell Wilson. If it was even possible for him to showcase that he can go to another level, he has certainly done that. But another quarterback with the Eagles, Carson Wentz, this man seemingly is going in the opposite direction. It looks like he has regressed. What's going on with Carson? Is it because of some of his own weapons? What's the deal in Philly?
Okay, so based on the two Eagles games I've watched now, and keep in mind I watched them about two or three times already, my issue with Wentz is he's making the same mistakes he was making his rookie year. And I don't know if it's confidence in him right now. I don't know if he's a guy who needed more preseason reps or more time. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is an issue, but it's the 5 or 7 that drops. Doug Peterson wasn't helping him there. He's sailing passes, and when he doesn't plant his foot right, he tends to sail a lot of passes. The inaccuracy is terrible for a fifth-year quarterback. I mean, and if Josh Allen can throw a football better, of course he can throw a football better. That's how I look at it. And he just hasn't been able to do it for whatever reason. I don't know if it's just not working out in Philly for him anymore. You know, yes, he's got a lot of young receivers. But he also has DeSean Jackson. He has Zach Ertz. He has Miles Sanders. He has Dallas Goedert. The offensive line was better yesterday. So what was the problem? The play calling was fine. Doug Peterson balanced that out. He corrected his mistakes from week one. But it just seemed like when Carson Wentz has a bad game, he has a really bad game. And I did the stats for him since he came back from his torn ACL, since 2018. And he is, you know, people want to consider him a top five quarterback, especially in Philadelphia.
It's been average.
Yeah, he's been average. He's been exactly average. And that's what bothers me about this. Like, he's down near the bottom in passer rating. He's, you know, down near the bottom in completion percentage. Yards per attempt is down near the bottom. And, you know, it's easy for a city like Philadelphia to basically want Nick Foles back when Nick Foles was the guy who won him the Super Bowl. And then he leaves in the playoffs the next year, and now you got Jalen Hurts. If this keeps up, you might have to wonder, Jalen Hurts' time may be coming sooner than we think.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I mean, at the same time, they certainly owe that man some cash. Jeff, one more question before I let you go. We got several teams, including the Eagles, that are sitting at 0-2 right now. Which one of those 0-2 teams do you think can maybe fit in that 11% chance of still making the postseason?
Oh, man. You know what? Honestly, I still kind of like the Eagles in this because the NFC East, to me, is just garbage. The Dallas Cowboys should be 0-2. The Giants are done. They lost the only player worth watching on that football team, Saquon Barkley. Washington, I think they're going to be better under Ron Rivera, but honestly, it's one of those. I think the Eagles and Cowboys are going to make sure they beat them, and maybe the Giants even might beat them with that, you know, a game this year. So just because the NFC East is as bad as it is, I do like the Eagles. I still think the Atlanta Falcons are pretty good for an 0-2 team. But again, they seem to have a problem with this thing called a late lead, especially in the second half. Like, there's no reason the Falcons should have lost yet. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the Falcons, man, just think about any league. Giving the other team an opportunity to take a lead, giving up a lead, the Falcons forget that there are two halves to a football game, Jeff. Let's see what happens there.
Exactly. And that's what bothers me with them. Matt Ryan's playing out of his mind right now. Calvin Ridley is playing out of his mind. Julio Jones isn't even warmed up yet. And you know, somehow they're 0-2. And it's kind of the problem they have, and they were 1-7 last year. They just keep finding ways to lose to each other. And that's what bothers me about the Atlanta Falcons. It's, the problem is they're in the NFC South. That's why I still think they can right the ship, because Tampa Bay's not firing on all cylinders. The Saints aren't firing on all cylinders yet. So they still can figure this out. But the problem is, it just might be too late. Dan Quinn might be that lame duck coach. That's why I would probably go to the Eagles, because the NFC East just isn't good. And I know they beat the Bengals and go to 1-2. They have a gauntlet coming off the 49ers, the Ravens, and the Steelers. And their schedule looks tough. But overall, just by the way the NFC East is turning out, 8 wins may be it. That may win the division.
Well, Jeff, let's certainly see if the Eagles can dig their way out and maybe punch the Cowboys into taking the NFC East. Jeff, I want to appreciate you for hopping on. Where can people follow you and all of your work?
All right, Jared. So everybody can follow me at Jeff Kerr CBS. And then you can follow me on my articles at just search Jeff Kerr on Google or Jeff Kerr CBS Sports, and you'll find my profile there. So, yeah, so follow me at Jeff Kerr CBS. I guess, on Twitter, I got tons of stats that I always point out during NFL Sundays.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you for taking the time to hop on. Let's see what happens over these next several weeks. Obviously, as Jeff laid out, we've had a lot of injuries. We had no preseason. We had no preparation. And outside of COVID-19, where the NFL has really had no issue yet, let's hope that the injuries on the field don't pick up due to the lack of preparation with COVID-19. That would certainly be the worst case scenario as we watch some of these well-conditioned athletes who aren't all the way revved up. That's not something that we want to see. And speaking of revved up, right now the Raiders are trying to keep their lead over the Saints 24-17. But I do quickly want to switch sports. We're going to talk about someone who is revved up. His name is Anthony Davis for the Lakers. We're going to recap what happened over the weekend after the break. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.